You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Take your Bibles. We're in 1 Timothy. Orchestra will let you come around and be dismissed. And thank you back here, all of you folks that play in these instruments. My goodness, what a crowd. And all you folks up here, trumpets. And I thank God for all of you tonight. What a joy to be your pastor. I would want to say this. I always try to tell you, when God showers down his blessings, $1 million or all those things, there's nothing like that. But you know, our general fund has been struggling this year a little bit. We're $74,000 behind. And a little lady came up to me on Wednesday night, said, "Pastor, here's $80,000. Brother Jerry, that's the blessing of God. I knew what happened. Brother Sy, you did too. God always comes through. And if we'll hit the budget today, we're right on track these first 4 months, and praise God for that. God always meets it. I don't have a plan for that front out there. I don't know how we're going to raise that. But you watch, God's going to take care of it. He just will. We won't, and there's nothing wrong with a campaign. And we'll have campaigns for other buildings, ushers, bring folks on in, if you will. But I don't have a campaign, but God's going to do it. And I pray that every day this week, we passed a soils inspection last week, so they're forming up. And they passed another inspection, poured a pony wall. They're putting all the 2x6s in front of the building and going to be framing out for the windows this week and then putting the porch on. And next week, not this week, but probably next week, they'll pour the huge footings and get those all poured. And so it's coming on. And you can't see it now. You say, what in the world? And more people are asking, what in the world are we doing in there? But whatever we're doing, we're getting it done little by little. And they say we're going to make the date, July 13th. I hope we will. Father, I thank you so much for the good news of our church, everything you're doing for us. God, I thank you that 100,000 tracts, nearly, probably about 80,000 have been given out already in just 3 days. What a great church. Thank you for the servanthood of these people. I pray, God, your blessing upon our finances. I pray your blessing upon the building project out front. I pray your blessing upon 91 days from now as we celebrate 50 years. What a mighty God you are. Amen. Thank you for Brother Martinez's dad, Brother Pedro. He's in heaven now, but oh, what a changed man for many years. Thank you that he did not die a drunk, but he died a godly, holy man. It's in your presence. Lord, bless this time together as we look at the marks of a mighty church. In Jesus' name, amen. In 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus, those three books are called the pastoral epistles. We've seen the marks of a mighty church is sound doctrine. We must have sound doctrine. We saw, secondly, chapter 2, a mighty church is a prayer warrior church, praying all the time. And then we saw, number 3, that church is filled with women. And he showed there were widows and widowers, and there was women in the church. And this church has to have strong Proverbs 31 women. Then we saw the pastor and deacons, the polity of the church. And then we saw the apostasy that comes in. Everybody leaves a once held position. We depart from it. And let's not ever depart. Let's not depart from this held position. We're an old time. We use a songbook around here. We have a choir, we have a pulpit, we have a pianist, we don't have a dance band in here. We preach God's word. We're not going to be apostatizing. And so by the grace of God, let's not apostasy. And then we saw the care of the people and how that the church cared for people. They cared for the bus kids. 1.6 million riders have come to church. Brother Chris, I say, yeah, this is the week you came, 1977, I think, rode the bus, and now you've got a granddaughter graduating from high school in about 30 days. Hard to believe. But God, we've been running the buses, and we've been foreign missions all these years, and church planting all these years. Thank God for the care of the people. Then last week was our relationship to money. And the love of money is the root of all evil. And tonight I want you to read with me verse number 11 and verse number 12. Verse 11 and 12, we're going to close out the book of 2 Timothy tonight. I don't believe we'll keep going. We may next Sunday night, but I believe we'll close out this study. Verse 11, verse 12. Ready? Begin. But thou, O man of God, let's start again. Let's all get it, okay? 1 Timothy 6, verse 11 and verse 12. Let's read it like we mean it. Ready? Begin. But thou, O man of God, Bible says that we're to follow after. See that in verse 11? But thou, O man of God, flee these things, but follow after. Flee the money things, flee those things, but follow after. To follow means to pursue. To get in line where you're pursuing, or you're pressing forward. Pressing forward. Pursuing. Pressing forward. To follow after means to do what, class? Pressing forward. Pressing forward, art to pursue, to go after it. God wants this church to go after, number one, it says it right there, righteousness. Righteousness. The root word for right is right. God wants every person in this room to do right. Do right. Bob Jones Sr. died in 68, preaching in College Chapel, said do right till the stars fall. Just do right. It's not that hard to do right. The way of the transgressor is hard. Well, it's hard being a Christian. No, it's not. Jesus said, my yoke is easy. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Yoke up. Harness up with me, for my yoke is easy. I want to tell you, young kids up here, it's easier to live for God than to get in drugs. It's easier to live for God than become a drunk. And I know what I'm talking about. 50 years pastoring this church. 54 years of ministry. I've already buried some drunks. I've already buried drug addicts. I've already had the funeral for several, many that commit suicide because of drink and drugs and stupid decisions. God says follow after right. Righteousness. Righteousness exalteth the nation. But sin is a reproach. We have two groups in Washington, D.C. right now. We have a crowd that wants to do righteous. I was watching the press secretary of the president this past week. They said, how does she prepare? Here's how she prepares before she goes out. She was in a back room. And she said, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, and she began to pray. And prayed in Jesus' name. And then she said, okay, I'm ready. 3, 2, 1. The door opens up. She walks out. That's how she prepares. It's been a long time since we've had prayer in the White House. At least 4 years. Righteousness exalts a nation. Hey, for a president, stand up and say, there are only two genders, male and female. I don't care what the world tries to tell you. There's only two genders, male and female. Follow after righteousness. What's the second word he says? Follow after godliness. To be godly is to be godlike. Every person in this room this week, you have a choice to make with your life. You can be God-like or God or anti-God. You can be self-like. I love myself. And I want to tell you something, Brother Van Dyke, self always destroys self. Always does. You cannot live for self and be a happy person. You cannot live, but you can live for God. God-like. Are you God-like? What was God like? Well, tell me what Jesus was like. He went about doing good and helping where'er he could. He went about, he saw a blind man. He stopped and helped that blind man. He saw a leper this morning and stopped and helped that leper. He saw a paralyzed man and he stopped and helped that man. He saw Mary and Martha and their brother had died, Lazarus, and he stopped. And he saw a widow burying her son and he stopped the procession and he healed her son and brought him back to life. Everywhere Jesus went, he was doing good. That's being God-like. He who was without sin, that's God-like. Don't sin this week. In a moment, we'll give an invitation. It ought to be your prayer that I am going to be God-like this week. I'm going to be righteous this week. What's the third thing he says? He said the third thing is that you want to follow after. You want to pursue after. What's the third one? Faith. Faith. I've said it many times and you've heard me say it. I know that's a choice, faith. Faith is believing God. But I also know it's one of the nine graces that God gives a man. And I know, and I'm not going to talk about any other gifts if I haven't, but I know God has given me the gift of faith. I can believe God. I can believe God that next Sunday this place is going to be packed out. I can believe God for that. I can believe God that God's going to use Easter Sunday this year like no other Sunday in America's history, in our history. I believe that. I believe that. But by faith, I believe that. I'm not being proud. I'm a great man of faith. But with that great faith comes moments of great fear. And I have great doubts. And I've had to learn how to work with that and live with that. Just because you're strong in an area, don't put it that, okay, I'm strong, I'll never have any temptation. Oh, you will. Where you're strong, you're also tested. I know many of you in this room, many of you have great faith. That's what God's used this church with, so many of you, great faith. We can do this, we can accomplish this. But don't tell me that you don't have moments of great doubt and great fear. That happens. God says, I want you to have great faith, for without faith it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We have a missionary here tonight, and he'll tell you there's a church in Hutto, Texas that just got started. You've been in that church. Next week it's going to be a year old in Hutto, H-U-T-T-O, Hutto, Texas. And Brother Kirby Campbell's a pastor. He started up here in Marysville, Washington, and started a great church, and then his health broke. Oh, years ago, just broke. And I watched him he could not pastor that church anymore. And I watched he and Kelly and little Jack have to resign that church. And Isaac, they had to resign that church. And anyway, I can remember preaching at Bobby Robertson Church, and there's Kirby Campbell sitting there, all knotted up and all younger than I am, and he had no health. But God touched his body. And he's there knocking on doors, and that place is exploding. I mean, it's exploding. God's doing something great. How? By faith. It took him about 20 years, I think, suffering, not able to preach, barely able to get to church, in pain and suffering, but God raised him up for such a time as this. And that great state of Texas, that city doesn't have a church, but they've got one now, and it's going, and they're renting buildings, but they're going. Thank God, by faith. The next one, what does he say? Follow after, pursue after, press after. What's the first one? Say it together. Ready, begin. Righteousness. What's the second one? What's the third one? What's the fourth one? Love. Love is the key. Love is supreme. Sweeter it grows, more glory bestows. Bright as the sun, ever it glows. Love is the theme, eternal theme. It was 1977 and I went to pastor school in Hammond. I have all the materials from that year, the notebooks and all the materials that they ran. And really, quite frankly, they look so low budget, the old mimeograph machines now, not what you'd have today. But their theme that year was love. Remember the pastor of that church standing up and saying, "Fellas, go home. Don't expect your people to do anything for you. Go home and love your people. And tell them every Sunday night you love them." And prior to that, told you I loved you in the 76. Maybe I did. I was so nervous about being your pastor. But I'll tell you what, in 77, things changed. I came home and I said, every Sunday night, I'm going to tell you I love you. And now it started every Wednesday night and every Sunday morning, because I love the people of North Valley Baptist Church. I'm not the greatest pastor, but I tell you this, that I certainly love you. And God knows I love you. And the Bible says that love is a commitment to meet needs. And when you see someone in need, you want to meet that need. My wife and I have the joy of our life meeting needs in people. You cast your bread upon the water, and it's just an amazing thing. Just a couple of weeks ago, as pastor's appreciation, the pastor's wife appreciation, I never knew there was a pastor's wife appreciation week or whatever it is. Jackie Van Dyke called, said, "I'll have dinner there." But Penny Bridgman called, said, "I'll have dessert there." And all her desserts are good. I had so many ladies stopping by the house and bringing flowers by, thought someone died. So many ladies wrote notes. And by the way, if you did not, we're fine. Pastor's Appreciation Day is coming up. It was like 2 months ago, I think, so I could say that. We don't need anything. The staff ladies had a Pastor's Appreciation Day, pastor's wife. You know, Miss Streeper's been casting her bread on the water for many years. And you know it, because many of you have been the benefactors. You have a need, she meets it. She'll write you a check in a heartbeat. She'll give you money in a heartbeat. She doesn't miss hardly anything. That's what love does. I promise God not to say anything about age tonight, but I'm going to say a word about it, because you know, you get older in life, and I'm not old yet. Let me try that one time. One more. I'm not old yet. I still have half my brain still here, and that's all you need these days. You don't have much more than that, I guess. But you know, I just hope that if the Lord tarries and he takes me home one day, I hope you'll get a pastor who just loves you. I knew a preacher. He's home with the Lord now. He built a great church. I remember coming on his campus in 69 and looking at huge wings he was building. This was the science lab wing. And this was the educational wing, just wings on this building, a huge, huge school. I'd hear him preach in college. I have notes from when he preached. The man was white-haired, gray-haired, dignified, just as sharp as could be. But the man could not preach his way out of a wet paper bag. I mean, the guy... I'm telling you something, the guy was boring. He wasn't a good speaker. He wasn't a good preacher. And yet his church was huge. And I figured it out. I'd meet with him from time to time. I preached at his place. I'm talking about, it was Saturday night. I preached one Saturday night and then flew home, be here on Sunday. And the place, the gym, was packed with adults. They're building a building, just packed. And I thought, this guy, how does he get a crowd like this? Brother Jose, that man loved his people. He just loved his people. He'd hang out after church and talk to them. He'd be there before church. He was there for every need. He met every need they had. He was in the hospital. He was visiting them. He cared for them. Not a good preacher, but a good pastor. I don't know all that you'll choose one day, but I hope you'll choose a man that loves God's people. What have we covered tonight? Follow after, pursue after, follow. What, number one, what is it? Secondly, thirdly, fourth, and look at, I'm almost done. Patience. What do you say we skip over that one tonight? Let's say we covered it. Patience. That's the grace that enables us to endure trials. You know, I look throughout this church, I see trials everywhere. I see so many people that you've raised your son or your daughter and they're away from God. I see people that are sitting alone as widows or widowers, or your husband left or your wife left. I see everywhere I look, I can't go down a row where I don't see troubles. But God says, follow after. You go through troubles. Please, please, please hear me. Don't quit on God. Don't quit on church. Well, it's a church. Well, it's a Christian school. Well, no. It's the devil. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I besought the Lord three times, because there was a messenger from the devil sent to him. And he said, I'm going to endure. What are you enduring tonight? Just endure it. And learn to do it with joy. And lastly, real quickly, meekness. Meekness is, you have power. Blessed are the meek. Power, but it's under control. It's sort of like the boss at work. He has power to fire. He has power to give raises. But God says, put that power under control. And the last one is the next verse. And fight the good fight of faith. Stay in the battle, David and Goliath. Can I tell you that these seven ingredients are part of the great North Valley Baptist Church? And that's why you have a good church. We're not closing the doors. You see that line of little kids came through here tonight? The Spanish does the same. Their service tonight. You see these bus kids up here? We'll be okay, folks. The nurseries are filled tonight with babies. But those are babies that are here on the 50th anniversary. And 50 years from now, they'll still have a great church if God tarries. And if he tarries, as long as we are righteous, as long as we're godly, godlike, as long as we have love and faith and patience, endurance under hard trials and meekness, and we stay in the fight, we'll have a great church for years to come.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.